Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the book of Mark. Mark, the 14th chapter, and today Jesus institutes in this passage the Lord's Supper. And I'd like to dismiss the children to Children's Church. I also want us to be in prayer for our It Is Well event that is happening here this coming Saturday. It is going to be a tremendous time, and we will have a time of prayer as we close today for everyone involved in that, and ask the Lord's blessings upon it. And church family, I'd like to ask you to pray particularly that God would do a great thing and chains would fall, fear would bow, and Jesus could make do his work in hearts and lives. And I know it's a ladies' event, but I think I'm going to sneak in the back door somehow. I do have a key, and so I think I might sneak in there because I just want to see all that God's going to do. Can I tell you this? Folks, let's just think about this. We have all kinds of people here in our church. We have people from all walks of life, but all people are welcome here. Amen? Every race, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single and some are married. Some have been married for a long time, some not so long. Some have kids, some don't have kids. Some wish they had kids. Many are believers, but not all. We're all sitting here today and we need the gospel. Amen? Amen? We need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us to make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Jesus Christ is powerful. Can I tell you that? And the gospel is powerful. Jesus is wonderful. We're here to worship him. A remarkable thing happens in our passage today in these final verses of Mark. It becomes unmistakably clear that Jesus is in complete sovereign control over his circumstances. Even though Judas is about to betray him and the religious leaders are salivating over a defeated Jesus, time is pushing for him to be crucified on the cross for the sins of the world. He will make it possible for man to have his sins forgiven once and for all. This may actually be the most important supper that has ever taken place, we're about to read about, because this is the Passover meal and it changes forever as a result of our passage. Even in today's time, churches gather and participate in a service we call the Lord's Supper. And Jesus gave us this supper in this passage that we're going to study today. Matter of fact, we're going to do the Lord's Supper a week from tonight. And I tell you, after studying this passage and digging in it, it gives it all a new meaning. I'm excited about the Lord's Supper. So I want you to find your place in Mark, Mark chapter 14, verses 22 through 26, just five verses. Let me read those verses and you follow along in your copy as I read from my copy of God's Word. This is Mark 14, 22. As they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many." Verse 25, "Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. There is, number one, a change is made. There is a change that is about to take place that is monumental. As they were eating, the Bible says in verse 22, as they were eating, what were they eating? They were eating what is known as the Passover meal. Scholars and historians believe this took place on Thursday evening, and Jesus was having the Passover meal. The Passover meal could have happened on Thursday night or Friday night, but as it turns out, there were only so many places in Jerusalem that historians say they actually made it a two-night event because they needed a place inside in Jerusalem proper in order to celebrate the Passover. So Jesus celebrates the Passover meal on Thursday night, and then Friday he becomes the Passover lamb that is slain to take away the sins of the world. So what happens in the Passover? All right, I want you to do this. I want you to take your Bibles and go back to the book of Exodus. Genesis, Exodus, and I want you to go to the 12th chapter of Exodus, and we're going to read 12 verses of Scripture in Exodus chapter 12, and this is the very first Passover meal. This is Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, 'On the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need. You shall make for your count for the lamb.'" Verse 5, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it from the sheep or from the goats. Verse 6, "Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight." Verse 7, "And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it." Verse 9, "Do not eat it raw nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." That was the original event that took place where the death angel passed over the people of Israel, and all of the firstborn of Egypt were slain because of the word of Pharaoh. Pharaoh would not let the people go. And so this was a night of great victory for God's people. And God's people began to celebrate this. And they celebrated this year after 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 year. You get the idea, until the night that we're studying in the Gospel of Mark, and a change is made. Jesus makes a monumental statement when he passes out the bread. He says, "This is my body." That was a statement that had never been part of the Passover. What had taken place in the Passover? Well, as years went on, this celebration had few changes that were involved, but basically, here's what normally happened at a Passover. The head of the family gave thanks for the Passover in general, and the wine in particular. They had a cup of wine that was sipped. There was a lamb that was eaten. There was unleavened bread. The Israelite people were commanded to take all leaven out of their homes the day prior, and they left it out. They started a feast of unleavened bread, and they left it out of their bread for at least a week. Then there was a bowl of bitter herbs. Those herbs were, the bitter herbs were to remind them of the bitterness of their slavery in Egypt. The taskmasters that were over them and the bitter life that they lived as slaves in Egypt. And then there was a paste or a sauce that was there as well that was a reminder of the bricks that they had to make and the mortar that would make those bricks come together. As a part of that Passover meal, someone would ask the Father, "Father, why is this night so different?" And the father of the house would explain to them about the Passover that we just read about in Exodus chapter 12. And then he would recite that story of Exodus that we just read about. Then they would sing. There was singing as a part of it. Psalms 113 through 114 is known as the Hallel, and they were singing part of that. They would sing a hymn. So music team, that's why music is so important. Even in the Passover meal, there was singing. They sang a hymn. They would sing a psalm, and that's one of the reasons that we have a singing faith. You know, Christianity is one of the only faiths that sings. The Lord created music. And we have an opportunity to sing and lift our voices. I tell you, I hope I lead out in worship in this church. I hope that I worship the Lord with all of my heart, with every ounce that I've got in me. Because I tell you, it means so much, the salvation that Christ has brought into our lives. We ought to lift the roof off this place, singing and making melody in our hearts because of what Christ has done. Well, they sang a hymn, and then the Father gave thanks. They were sipping the cup as in different parts of this. And then the eating resumed, and then there was a third cup. Now, when Christ said, this is my blood, this cup is my blood, they believe it was the third cup. The cup of blessing is what they believe. That was the timing of it when Jesus did that. And then they sang some more. But the point that I want you to get is that a change was made. This was the very last Passover meal necessary because everything changed and it moved to what we know as the Lord's Supper. Now, when the book of Mark was written, the church had been having the Lord's Supper. Some believe they had it every week. We're not really told in Scripture how often you're to have it. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 11, it says, as often as you eat this bread you proclaim and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So there's not given a instructions about how often. I've often thought to myself, you want to have it, you want to distance it enough to make it special. But you don't want to make it so distant that it's not familiar. Now, we have gone back and forth with doing it roughly somewhere between 4 and 7 weeks apart in our church family. Far enough apart that it makes it very, very special as we remember what the Lord has done, and yet not so often that it's just routine. You don't want it to be routine. And so, but just so you'll know, there's nothing wrong. I've visited churches, they have communion, they have the Lord's Supper every service. Every single service, they have the Lord's Supper. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing, but that's not the only way. It's not like that has to be done. So every church has to decide, and I think that's typically been our pattern at North Central, even prior to my time coming. But my point that I want you to get is a change is made. Folks, this is monumental. This is Jesus Christ changing the Passover meal into the Lord's Supper, all right? Then I want you to see number two, the bread. In verse 22, he says, and as they were eating that Passover meal, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them, and said, take, eat, this is my body. Now, the word blessed is where we get the word eulogy. The word eulogy means to give thanks. This is like a blessing. You know, somebody says, hey, should we say the blessing before a meal? That's where this comes from, that word eulogy. It's also where they get the word Eucharist. You've heard in the Catholic Church, they say, we're going to have the Eucharist. That is where the meal is blessed. And so that's the word that is used. And Jesus gave thanks, or he blessed the meal. It means to give thanks. And then he says this. He broke the bread, and then he makes this statement they have never heard. This is my body. Now, they had never heard that before. That was new information. And that's where everything changed. Now, what does that mean, this is my body? Well, there are basically three views of the Lord's Supper that I want you to understand. There are three different strains theologically that different denominations hold. One strain is the idea that in the Lord's Supper, that the bread becomes the body of Jesus Christ. I mean, literally, that view is called transubstantiation. In other words, that substance is transformed. Transubstantiation. It's literally the body of Jesus Christ. Another view is the word, what I would say the word consubstantiation. It doesn't mean that it actually becomes the body, but it takes on the essence. In other words, it's not the body of Jesus. When you're at a Lord's Supper and they pass out the bread, is that bread? You can laugh. I'm just kidding. No, I just wonder sometimes that those little wafers. I mean, hey, I've been using those forever, okay? But I think if I didn't have anything else to do, I could invent something a little tastier or something. You know, I don't know. But anyway, now don't write me about that. I'm just kidding, okay? But no, they say that bread, when they pass out the bread, they say it doesn't become the body of Jesus, but they say spiritually Jesus is there. It's spiritually Jesus in that bread. That's what they say. That's consubstantiation. The third view is the view we take, and that is that it is a remembrance. There's nothing supernatural in the actual bread, okay? There's nothing necessarily supernatural in the bread, but the point of the Lord's Supper is to do what Jesus said, what Paul said Jesus said in 1 Corinthians 11, where he says, do this in remembrance of me. So it is a service to remember. I do think it is very, very special. The Lord's Supper is very unique. It is a special service in which we commit ourselves once again, afresh and anew, to being the people of God that he has called us to be. Matter of fact, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you want to turn over that way. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. Find that in your copy of God's Word. 1 Corinthians 11, chapter 23. 1 Corinthians 11, 23. Paul is describing what happened, what we're studying in the gospel. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed. Now, we're about to get to that. Jesus is about to be betrayed. We know who his betrayer is. We studied that last week. His name is Judas, and so he's about to be betrayed. In verse 23, it says, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. By the way, the Lord's Supper service is a great night to get saved. I'll be honest with you. It's a great night for someone to be saved, because when we have the Lord's Supper, it's a proclamation that Jesus Christ is the Savior and that He can save. And so anyway, we see that He says, "This is my body." So it is done in remembrance. But you say, wait a minute. He says, "This is my body." How do you get that idea that it is a remembrance, that that's not really, that bread is not, when you say prayer over it and we sing and we're in that service, that there's not something really that changes in the essence of that bread, because Jesus gave it to them and He said, "This is my body that is broken for you." Well, Jesus also said, I want to propose this to you, is the reason why the bread doesn't change in essence. Jesus also said in John 10, He said, "I am the door of the sheep." Jesus used language that was figurative. He said, "I am the light of the world." Okay? He said, "I am the door of the sheep." In the Greek language, the word "is" there, the word actually means represent. This bread represents me. That is the concept there. It means it represents me. Just like the door, Jesus said, "I am the gateway for the sheep." Okay? Kenneth Wiest, a New Testament scholar, great man. We've got his books in our library. I just encourage you. You can get all four volumes of Kenneth Wiest really cheap on Christian book distributors. It's a great, great commentary. Here's what he says about this. He says, just as the actual sheep gate pictured, illustrated, symbolized our Lord in His position and work as Savior, so the bread symbolized Him as the spiritual nourishment upon which a sinner may feed and have eternal life. And so basically the bread, he's saying, this is my body. This represents my body that is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. As often as you do it, you will proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. So a change is made, number one. Number two, we look at the bread. Number three, the cup. Number three, the cup. In verse 23, he goes to the cup and he says this. He says, then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood. Now, it was prohibited for them to drink, for a Jew to drink blood. It's a gross concept. And so obviously Jesus wasn't saying, this is my blood. But he's saying it represents my blood. And he even gets more specific. He says, it is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Now, the blood of the covenant, that is a concept that is talked about in the book of Jeremiah. Let me just read this. You can write the reference down. They'll probably have it on the screen. Jeremiah 31:31, verses 31 through 34. Let me read that. You're welcome to turn there if you want. Jeremiah 31:31 says this, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord." This is Jeremiah prophesying about a new covenant. The blood of a new covenant. "The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." So the cup represents the blood. Now, in the Old Testament, they would take that lamb and they would sprinkle that blood. And the Bible says in Exodus 24, verse 8, it says, "And Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, "This is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you according to all these words." That is a picture of the old covenant. The new covenant, Jesus himself becomes the Lamb. Jesus is going to be crucified the next day, and the Bible says in the New Testament he was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. So the Passover Lamb, Jesus, takes that spot himself, and there is no need to ever sacrifice another lamb again. And so he's calling us to have a remembrance of that, and he's talking about his blood. He says, "This cup represents my blood that is spilled." Just as the blood, listen, just as the blood of a sacrificial animal sealed the covenant God made with Israel at Sinai, the blood of Jesus sealed the covenant God made with his new people, the church. So the Lord Jesus, when he shed his blood was the equivalent of the blood that was shed in the Old Testament, and it would forever take care of the sins of the world. Now, look at this. It says in verse 24, it says, in verse 24, "And he said, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed." That word shed means to be poured out. But it also has with it the idea it could have been a violent type of shedding. He says that which is being shed, the way the tense is in that scripture there, Jesus is saying, listen, this is my blood of the new covenant which is being shed. It's like it hadn't happened yet, but it was spoken of as if it had. And so it was a violent shedding of blood. And we know that Jesus on the cross was a violent act. And his blood that was shed was a violent pouring out of his blood. And because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we're cleansed from sin. Those who put their faith and trust in Christ. That's why the Lord's Supper is for those that have believed on Jesus Christ. Listen, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you need a church family. You need a church family to come and celebrate the Lord's Supper with. The Lord's Supper is tied to the local congregation of believers, because there's a unity in that local body of believers as we celebrate and remember what Christ has done for us, and it brings us together. I encourage you, whenever we have the Lord's Supper, if you are a believer, particularly if you are a part of this fellowship, you should be here for our observances of the Lord's Supper. It's very, very important. So he talks about that he has taken the place of that shed blood of that lamb. And then the last thing, the fourth thing, not only a change is made, not only the bread, not only the cup, but then the fourth thing is the future. He talks about the future there in verse 25, and it says, "Assuredly I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." In a regular Passover meal, many believe there were four cups. Not four different cups, four times they drank. And when Jesus said, "Take this cup, this is my blood of the new covenant that is for you," that was the third cup. And this fourth one, Jesus says, "I'm not going to take that again until I come to my kingdom." Do you know that the Lord's Supper presses us to realize there's a future kingdom coming? This is the future. This is at the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, the marriage supper of the Lamb, when God has brought all of his chosen ones that have been saved that will be there at that marriage supper of the Lamb. If you have given your life to Jesus Christ, you have trusted in him. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he that believes on me has everlasting life." The Bible says this, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Philippian jailer said, what must we do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If that's you and that's happened to you, you're going to be at that marriage supper of the Lamb. And Jesus said in Mark 14, I will not take another cup until we all get there on that day. So he's talking about the future. So my question to you is, are you going to be there in that future? Because the primary reference is to the final consummation of the kingdom and the messianic banquet at that time, described in Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 through 9. Let me read that. Revelation 19, 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said, these are the true sayings of God. So it had an eschatological meaning. It had a future meaning. Okay? So folks, we need to have that mindset. Whenever we have the Lord's Supper, we need to be reminded Jesus is coming again. You know Jesus is coming again, don't you? Amen. The next act on the eschatological timeline is that Jesus Christ could come at any moment. Amen. The angel said, why are you gazing up into the sky? This same Jesus who you saw ascend is going to come again in like manner. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And then the Bible says, and they sung that hymn again, the Hallel. Jesus, think about this now, Jesus was singing, and in just a matter of hours, he was going to be on the cross. Jesus was singing, and in just a matter of hours, he was going to be on the cross. But he set his face like flint. I just told you the answer, now I want you to say it. He set his face like flint. That's an Old Testament verse where the Messiah is prophesied that when Jesus, the Messiah, comes, his mind and his will be set to go to the cross for you. And he made sure all the details were done. Part of what had to be done was this Passover meal had to be changed to the Lord's Supper. And he did it for us. And that's why for hundreds of years, for 2,000 years since Christ rose from the dead, the church has gathered around the Lord's table to remember what Christ has done. But there's a future focus on this. And the question that I have for you is, will you be there? Have you given your heart and your life to Jesus Christ? And then, church family, if you are a believer in Christ and you have the assurance you're there, how are we doing living as God's children right now, identified with Jesus Christ? That is the challenge of this passage of Scripture. That is the challenge of the Lord's Supper. But make no mistake about it, the sovereign Lord Jesus had total control of the circumstances. And the next day, at the very hour that the Passover lamb is normally slain, Jesus would die on a cross to be the final Passover lamb. Amen. We would never need to have ritual again, to do some type of a ritual in order to earn our way to heaven, or in order for that blood to be spilled to just take a temporary appeasement of sin. No, the blood of Jesus Christ was shed, and once for all that was needed for all your sin. I'm telling you, that's some powerful blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus was the perfect lamb that was slain for you. He was the Passover. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.